thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, and to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And what a joy it is to give him the praise that is due to him. Morning and evening, throughout the week, on the Lord's Day, whatever the day, it's the sweetest joy and the deepest privilege we have to call on his name. And what a joy it is to be here with you tonight, to get to do that very thing. Just a couple of things to note for tonight. We'll have revival prayer on Wednesday night, seeking the outpouring of the Spirit upon the Word and upon His church, and that He would that He'd revive and He would awaken His church and revive her solely by the Word and Spirit, and that His Word would be used mightily, and His Spirit would bless just the very simple and yet extraordinarily powerful means of grace. Just a couple other things. Thursday morning Bible study. Thank you so much. I keep hearing so many good things about the Thursday morning study, and I'm so thank you, Angie, for all the preparation, all the work, all the prayer that goes into that, and know that we also pray for you. You Sunday school teachers as well, y'all do such wonderful work with the children and with the adults, and thank you so much. Your work does not go unnoticed. It does not go unreceived, and so thank you. Thank you immensely for the work that you do. Okay, any other announcements for tonight? Anything else? Brothers and sisters, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let's stand and sing to his praise. Hymn 64, God the Lord, a King remaineth. God the Lord, a King remaineth, robed in his own glorious light. God hath robed him, and he reigneth, he hath girded him with might. Alleluia, alleluia, God is King in depth and height. In her everlasting station, earth is poised to swerve no more. Thou hast laid thy throne's foundation from all time where thought can soar. Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, thou art forevermore. Lord, the water floods have lifted, ocean floods have lifted their roar. Now they pause where they have drifted, now they burst upon the shore. Alleluia, alleluia, for the ocean sounding store. With all tones of waters blending, glorious is the breaking deep. Glorious, beauteous, without ending, God who reigns on heaven's high steep. Alleluia, alleluia, songs of ocean never sleep. Lord, the words thy lips are telling are the perfect verity of thine high eternal dwelling, holiness shall inmate be. Alleluia, alleluia, pure is all that lives with thee. We honor you, O God of heaven, for your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. You have put on truth as your belt.
holiness fits your house, O God, forevermore. Your testimonies are ever sure. Your faithfulness is from generation to generation. And so we look to you this day, O God. We would consider the days of old, the years of ancient times. We would remember your works, O Lord. We would remember your wonders of old. For your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? And so tonight, Lord, our souls soar in praise and adoration. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fix our gaze upon that Son of righteousness. And, oh, Lord Jesus, that you would rise upon your church, shine upon your church. Would you favor your church with healing under your wings? We ask that you would come, Spirit of the living God, that you would come in reviving and quickening and sanctifying and awakening power. Lord, dwell in our midst. Take us as your people and dwell among us as our God. And all this we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be seated. And our New Testament reading tonight will come from the Gospel of Matthew. From Matthew and chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and so on Lord's Day evenings, we're not only hearing the scriptures preached, we're also reading through the Gospel of Matthew together. And tonight we come to chapter 3, which records for us the preaching of John the Baptist and then the baptism of Jesus. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you,
and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Continue worshiping our great God together. We'll just remain seated while we sing hymn 691, "It Is Well With My Soul," hymn 691. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Brothers and sisters, if you're able and if you're willing, we invite you to stand with us as we pray and seek the Lord together. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God of heaven, truly it is well tonight with our souls. It is well despite the ongoing struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, it is well with our souls despite the remnants of the old self. Lord, how we freely confess to you our distrust of your ways, that we are prone to wander and prone to leave the God whom we love. Lord, how freely we acknowledge the depth and the weight of our rebellion against you. And yet, O God, there is such sweet freedom in confessing our transgressions unto the Lord. For, Lord, is there not freedom and is there not liberty and joy found in confessing our sin? O Lord, that with you there is forgiveness. That if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But we rejoice tonight that there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And so we wait for you, O Lord. Our souls wait, and upon your word we place our hope. Our souls wait for you, O Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. For, Lord, our hope is in you tonight. O Lord God of heaven, you are one who is rich in mercy to all who call upon you. And Lord, have you not given us the sweet promise of pardon? Lord, do you not continue to call us back to yourself, to these soul-refreshing streams of the gospel? Lord Jesus, are you not the light of the world? Have you not given us that water of life, welling up to eternal life within us? O Spirit of the living God, have you not given us the deepest and the richest and the most abundant of joy? Lord, at the close of this Lord's Day, how we rejoice that there remains the keeping of a Sabbath for the people of God, that here we have this one day out of seven as a weekly reminder of the sweet freedom that is ours in Christ. And, O Lord, that you plant us by those rivers of water. You plant us deeply in that soil that is Christ. You unite us to yourself, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. And how we rejoice in this. And so we plead with you, Spirit of the living God, that you would build up your church. Lord, that this glorious, freeing declaration of pardon and salvation, which comes from your hand, that this would be published throughout South Alabama and to the ends of the earth. Lord, how we long to see your church, to see your people sing with one voice, one heart, and one song of your redeeming grace. Lord, how we long to see your gospel churches full. And so we plead with you, Spirit of Christ, that you would go forth mightily, that you would pity the nations, O God, constrain the earth to come, send your victorious word abroad, and bring the strangers home. Lord Jesus, that you, the great anointed King, that you would pronounce your blessings on this land, the blessings of salvation and redemption. Lord Jesus, are you not our wisdom from God, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption? We plead with you, Lord, that souls would be directed to cling to you, the prophet, priest, and king. And Lord, that our hands might be opened. Lord, would you open our fists of rebellion? And would you give us open hands to simply receive, to receive your redemption. Tonight, O God, would you grant a deep peace to those in the midst of the battle? Lord, would you enable us to trust a complete salvation, a complete Savior. We love you, O Christ. We ask now that your word might be open and that our ears might be unstopped and our sight undimmed, unless it be with tears of joy. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight our text will come from Psalm 3 in the Old Testament. Psalm 3, and we'll read the entire psalm together. Psalm 3, this is a psalm which declares the strongest message you will ever hear. And that is that salvation is of the Lord. That whatever your need, whatever deliverance you stand in need of tonight, your deliverance, your salvation comes solely at the Lord's hand. It comes at the hand of an anointed king. An anointed king who was betrayed, an anointed king who was hated without cause, an anointed king who simply delights to bless his people. You'll see in the italics, this is a psalm of David when he was fleeing from Absalom, his son. This was a deeply felt and a deeply planted conspiracy. And David felt it. Now, there were reasons. There were reasons for the conspiracy. There were reasons why Absalom felt such resentment towards his father. There were reasons. But this is what life will be like for the anointed king. Psalm 2 told us of this anointed king who reigns from the holy hill of Zion, and that he reigns over extensive lands. Psalm 3 shows you what life is like for that anointed king. So beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through to verse 8. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing be on your people. Well, so this is recorded for you in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. If you were to read that section tonight when you go home this evening, you would read of this conspiracy against David that was led by Absalom, his son. And you would read of this season when Absalom, it's written, stole the hearts of Israel, and that he won people over to his side, and this was a deep and a vast betrayal. And so 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18 is where you read of this rebellion from Absalom and his followers against David and his band. Now, what the Psalms do for you, they show you what life is like for the anointed king. When Old Testament believers would sing and when they would pray these Psalms, they were singing of what not only their previous king, David, was like, they're also singing of what to expect from their future anointed king, from their future Messiah. What will life be like for the future anointed Christ? And so in Psalm 2, what did we read of? We read of this rebellion against the Lord and against his Christ. And the Lord responds to that rebellion by positioning his Messiah on the holy hill of Zion there in Jerusalem. And he reigns over extensive lands, and he reigns with an offer of pardon and peace. And so the nations are called to kiss the Son, lest he be angry, lest you perish in the way. You and I are called to rejoice with trembling. Psalm 3 shows you that the life of that king who reigns from Zion is marked by pain and humiliation and betrayal. Now, David experienced trouble in his household as a discipline. When you read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, you read of this sin into which he fell, and that there is a statement that from David's own house there would arise trouble. But what does Psalm 3 do for you? It points you not only to a flawed king of Israel, it also points you to the blameless and the perfect and the holy anointed Messiah. And the crescendo of this psalm, the height of this psalm, is where David declares that deliverance, salvation comes from the Lord. In verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Deliverance is declared through this anointed king. Blessing is pronounced from this anointed king. And I want you to hear tonight that there is no stronger, there is no more vital message for you to hear than that salvation belongs to the Lord. This is the same promise. This is the same statement that is made by the prophet Jonah. So kids, you know the story of Jonah? Jonah gets swallowed by the big fish. He's cast overboard, and Jonah is swallowed by the big fish. And he's there in the belly of the big fish. And in Jonah chapter 2, if you were to read the book of Jonah with your parents, Jonah chapter 2 records Jonah's prayer. And Jonah prays from the middle of that fish. And part of Jonah's prayer is salvation is of the Lord. And at the end of the age, in Revelation chapter 7, and you have this glorious picture, and the nations are gathered from every tribe and language and people and tongue, and they are waving their palm branches in joy and victory and triumph. And what is the theme of their song? Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. The theme of their song is this: salvation is of the Lord. Tonight, I want you to hear that deliverance from the guilt and from the power of sin is found in no other place but at the Lord's hand. I want you to hear, first of all, that this salvation, this deliverance is declared in the midst of the battle, that there is an intense, spiritual, irreconcilable war, and that salvation is pronounced in the midst of the battle.
And so you see this in verses 1 and 2. David cries out, "O Lord, how many?" He is feeling besieged. Whether he is composing these words on his way out of Jerusalem or whether he's thinking back on the state of his soul as he was going up the Mount of Olives, weeping and barefoot as he went. Either way, he is pouring out his soul that there were many that had risen against him. That this was a deep conspiracy and betrayal. "Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God." What good does your faith do? What good does it do for you to call on this God? And in that suffering, is David not a picture? Is he not a type? Is he not a sign pointing you ahead to the one who would be hated without cause, against whom the nations would rage and the peoples would plot in vain? Is he not pointing you ahead? What did Jesus say of himself? That the world would hate his followers just as they hated him. And so what do you see? In the life of David, you see a picture of what Christ would experience. And as you and I are in union and communion with that risen Christ, what he has experienced will also be our path as well. And you and I are in the midst of an intense, irreconcilable war where it seems that there are many that rise up against us. How will David pray in Psalm 40? "Innumerable evils have compassed me about. They are more than the hairs of my head." You and I feel that the number of sins that weigh us down, they are more than the hairs of our very head. And we cry out. For deliverance. Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, would you not release, would you not free my soul from these sins which I loathe and I despise? Oh God of heaven, would you not stretch forth your hand? And what is this psalm promising? Salvation is declared in the midst of the battle. In your battle against sin, salvation is declared in this sense. You are freed from the guilt of sin. As many assaults of the devil and as many temptations rise from within you, you are declared free from the guilt of sin, from what sin deserves. What does sin deserve? It deserves the wrath and the curse of God. And where does deliverance from that sin come? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Is Jesus not our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption? Jesus, you look to him for freedom. You look to him for your righteousness, for your legal standing. You are freed from the guilt of sin. You are also freed in this spiritual battle, in this spiritual, irreconcilable war. You are also declared that you will be sanctified, not only free from the guilt of sin, but you will also gradually be freed from sin's power. And you will never be perfectly free from that hellish grip in this life, but slowly but surely, and you and I have experienced this very thing, that as many sins have risen against us, you and I have been enabled and equipped over time to resist. Now, where'd that power come from? Is salvation not of the Lord? And as you and I have gone through these earthly sorrows and trials, have you not also experienced that he, the God of providence, he, the God of precise and particular fatherly care, that he has led and guided you despite? Salvation is of the Lord in the midst of the fight. You're going through the gauntlet.
And he is with you every single weary step of the way. Salvation is of the Lord, and that's declared in the midst of your battle, where it feels as though you cannot pick up your foot for another step. Second thing I want you to see, though, this salvation, it's declared in the midst of the battle, but then it is also received. It is embraced with trust. So salvation is declared, deliverance from the guilt and the power of sin, and it is declared in the midst of the battle, but that declaration is also embraced. And so you see this in verses 3 and 4. David cries out, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. You are my defender. You are my protector." A shield in ancient times, this would be a vital piece of armor as you go into the battle. And he is asserting that the Lord is his shield and his defender. "Be thou my battle shield, sword for my fight," we sing. "Be thou my dignity, thou my delight, thou my soul's helper, thou my high tower." Is he not your vision? Is he not your sight? "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory." Lord, you are the one. You're the one whom I seek to glorify and seek to honor. You are my shield. You are the one that I long to see your name lifted up and extolled and honored. Why would David be in such grief? He is in such grief because the name of God, he wants the name of God to be glorified. "You are my glory and you are the lifter of my head." Well, what has he done? He has embraced with the deepest trust. This psalm strikes deeply because it's one with deeply felt emotion. "You are my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head." Many of you need to be praying this verse for where you are in your particular season. You need to pray this verse with all of the trust that it involves. "Lord, you are my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head." He cries aloud to the Lord, and where does he answer? David is banished from Jerusalem. And where does he answer? Look at verse 4. "He answered me from his holy hill." The Lord Jesus maintains an audience with his Father. And oh, how he ever lives to make intercession for his people. Oh, how his cries are never ceasing. How does Jesus intercede for his people? He holds up the record of his perfect obedience. He holds up the record of his scars, his wounds, that he has borne the dreadful curse for our souls. And those wounds and that righteousness, it stands as a permanent witness to the promises of God. And he pleads these promises. He pleads the merit of his own blood, his own wounds. And does the Father hear his own Son? When Jesus, our great high priest, when Jesus intercedes, when he makes intercession for the saints, does he not hear his own Son? And is that not why the Father is still at work drawing sinners to himself? Because he hears the cries of his Son pleading for particular sinners for whom he has laid down his life. You see these verses. Jesus cries aloud, and Jesus is answered from the holy hill. And you and I, in union with Christ, what do? We now embrace. We embrace this complete, perfect redemption. This complete, sufficient Redeemer.
And we call unto him that you are my shield and my defender against the assaults of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We cry out to him that he is our glory, that he is the one we long to honor and to extol. We cry out to him that he is the lifter of our head. And there, what has he done? When he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, what did he do? What did he do for you? How did he rejoice your soul? Was it not in lifting you out of the pit? Was it not in raising you out of the mire? Was it not in seating you at in heavenly places with him, in union with him? Yes, he is our shield, he is our glory, and he is the lifter of our head. And so what do? You and I, we embrace this complete salvation, calling upon his name, asking him to cleanse us from guilt, but then also pleading that he would cleanse us from sin's corrupting power, pleading with him on behalf of his church, pleading that he would purify, revive, and awaken. And we cry aloud to the Lord, look at verse 4, trusting that he will answer from his holy hill. So you know, there's such a deep trust here. Do you trust him? Do you trust his hand? Do you trust his ear? Do you trust his hearing? Look at verse 5. David so trusts this complete redemption, this complete aid and assistance. He is able to lay down and sleep despite the rising of many foes. How many of us have stayed awake at night? There are many reasons why you might be kept awake at night. But how many of us have been kept awake at night for these harassing cares? David so completely trusts that he is able to lay down and sleep. It's the perfect place to be. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. There's a deep trust in the providence of God, in his fatherly care over his people. He asserts this statement in verse 7, "Arise, O Lord," there's the battle cry for Israel. From Psalm 68, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him." Well, when does that ultimately take place? Here he is looking ahead to this last day, the final day. Yes, this happened in part during David's reign, during his wars against the enemies of God, but ultimately, verse 7, striking his enemies on the cheek, breaking the teeth of the wicked. This is looking ahead to the last day, to the final day, when justice is finally and completely and totally served. Now, this is a complete redemption. Salvation is of the Lord. He saves you from the guilt of sin. He saves you from the power of sin. And at long last, there at the last day, when justice is served, the new heavens and the new earth, everything is restored to its original intent. And this good earth is cleansed from even the existence of sin. Do you trust him? Do you trust his hand? Do you see the peace that resides upon the soul of David? And do you see the peace which your own soul needs in the midst of the battle? Be thou my battle shield, sword for my fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight, thou my great shelter, thou my high tower.
Is he your vision? Is he your trust? Whatever your need, whatever your besetting sin, whatever your harassing care tonight, you are directed to the anointed King. Look at verse 8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Where do these blessings of a perfect redemption, a complete salvation, an abiding peace, an ability to lay your head down and sleep despite the harassing foes and cares? Where does this come from? What is the channel? What is the hand that brings these blessings? Is it not the anointed Messiah? Is it not the anointed Christ? Is it not the anointed King? This Jesus, you go to this Christ, he is the one who entered the battle. That he is the one who went stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. That he was the one against whom the nations raged and the peoples plotted in vain. That Jesus is the one who came to his own and his own received him not. That he is the one who was betrayed, who was denied, that his own followers were scattered. He is the one. He is the shepherd who was struck. And you look to this Jesus, you look to this anointed King, there is no other Savior, there is no other Redeemer, there is no other source of life, there is no other fountain. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Would you look to him tonight in the midst of the battle? Would you look to him with a complete trust? Would you look to him trusting his blood? Trusting his merits, trusting his work. Would you look to this anointed King who is mighty to save and who is able to sustain you in the midst of the night watches? Would you look to this King to whom all authority and power has been given? This King who is the disposer of all history and all providence? Would you look to this King? There is no safer place to be. There is no more perfect place to be. And there is no more joyful refuge. Would you look to this King who reigns? Would you cry aloud to the Lord, trusting that he would answer from his holy hill? Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we rejoice tonight in a perfect Redeemer, in a deliverance that comes at your hand. Lord Jesus, we have none in heaven but you. There is none that we desire besides you. Oh, our Jesus, how we love you. We know that you are ours. Your work alone, O Christ, your blood alone, O Lamb of God, can break our bondage and can ease our souls. Lord, for any tonight who are weary and heavy laden, Lord, would you give them to lay down and rest? And would you sustain them? That they might rest in a perfect Redeemer and blessings at your hand. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Psalm 3 together. We'll stand as we sing from the Psalter. Psalm 3, and this is to the tune of Amazing Grace. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. And how many say, in vain for help he on his God relies. Psalm 3. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many say in vain for help. is God relies.
You are my shield and glory, Lord. You lifted up my head. I cried out, Lord, and from his hill to me his answer sped. I lay down, slept, and woke again. The Lord is keeping me. I will not fear 10,000 men entrenched surrounding me. Arise, O Lord, save me, my God. You punish all my foes. You smite the face of